I have time to give the full proof of what I have to say on it. So the Sunday school lesson this morning, I'm going to stop whenever I get to the magic time. But if I get to this particular thing, and we've still got a lot of time to go, I'm going to stop on it because I want a full time to explain this, because it's something that I have to use a lot of Bible, and I have to use a lot of facts to show why I believe what I do. Now, last week, and this is on the front side of this tape that we're currently taping on, we talked about the three worlds. We talked about the original creation in Genesis 1:1. We talked about the time that the earth became null and void in Genesis 1:2. And we talked about the great flood that occurred at that time, at the end of Genesis 1:2, when the face of God was brooding over the waters, or fluttered lovingly over the waters. And then we talked about Genesis 1, chapter 1 and 3, through verses 31, Genesis 1:3 through 31, which is the restored earth, where God in 6 literal days restored an original creation that Satan had actually corrupted perhaps billions of years before, and had manipulated the various life forms that were originally placed there in Genesis 1:1. As I indicated last week, I do not believe in a pre-Adamic race, but I do believe in pre-Adamic creation by God of small microscopic life forms, and I'm going to be showing you scripture to validate that, and I'm also going to be showing you later on, probably not today, the scriptures that indicate that Satan actually tampered with those original life forms and tried to come up with a creature to rule over this earth for him. So in 2 Peter 3:5 through 6, we talk about the world that then was, and it also talks about the fall of Lucifer and other places that we've covered already, and what happened when Lucifer was placed over the original creation in Genesis 1:1, and then Lucifer sinned, and we're going to be talking about specifically what his sin was later on as we cover some other scriptures. Now, in 2 Peter 3, 5 through 8, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." In this diagram you see the original creation, Genesis 1:1. And then after that you see the second creation, which is the earth that became actually without form and void. That's the actual world that we're going to talk about in a moment. Then continuing in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, "Whereby the world that then was," that's the original creation in Genesis 1, "was, and then the world became null and void, and God overflowed it with water, being overflowed with water, perished." And you see that in Genesis 1 and 2. But then in the third diagram, the earth restored, in Genesis 1:3 through 31, Peter defines that in verse 7 as, "But the heavens and the earth which are now," right now, the ones we're currently living on, that God regenerated in 6 days, creating man on the sixth day, "by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire." It's coming a day when this present earth will be destroyed by fire, "against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." His point here is not where you can take a numerical value and make up a formula to see how God looks at time. It's merely Peter's way of telling you that time means absolutely nothing to God. 1 billion years staggers our finite minds, but to God 1 billion years is nothing. Now, in 2 Peter 3:3 through 9, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Today, college and university teachers, as never before, and also, unfortunately, at high school level and in grade school, are teaching that man descended from different types of life forms, and that man really came from a very ape-like creature called Australopithecus, has various other names. And the truth of the matter is, that isn't true. But they are going back and saying, "Look at the age of the earth. That proves that God did not make Adam." That's why I have always been so opposed, from the time that I was a small child, to what Bishop Usher did in 1634, when he took the King James translation added the years together, and made it into a time span where the earth was created in 4004 B.C. If that had been the intention of God, surely the Hebrews, in their interpretation of Genesis, would have done the same thing. But that was never the intention. And when Bishop Usher did that, he was a Catholic bishop, or at best a Church of England bishop, but he was a Catholic bishop. And the truth of the matter is, he had no authority to do that, but because it has become so accustomed for men and women to look at that and to believe you can add those times up, today that's looked upon in many Christian circles as the actual time the earth was created, 4004 B.C. That isn't correct. And what I will do eventually is to show you why it isn't correct, and I will do the scriptures justice by showing you what they actually say and why it's wrong to go back and add that up. Now he goes ahead and says in verse 9, 2 Peter 3 and 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should exercise repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we who live on this earth today are supposed to be doing what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 13. "Nevertheless, we," Peter referring to himself and other believers, "according to his promise," this is the promise of God, "look for a new earth and a new heaven, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. If you and myself and all of God's children were actually looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and when we prayed the Lord's Prayer and said, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,' if we really wanted that, and we were really directing our lives toward pleasing a God whom we truly believed would one day make a new heavens and a new earth, it would make a tremendous difference in the outreach of Christian witness across the surface of this earth. But the truth is, most people today are lukewarm. Most people today, their love is wax cold. And they're so tied up in their own personal lives that they don't have time to really think much about the future. I think a lot about the future. I think a lot about the millennial reign. I think a lot about the new earth. And people say, 'Brother Michael Murray, I don't understand how you can do 30 to 40 meetings a year.' It's real easy. I happen to believe this. And as long as God gives me physical strength to do so, I'm going to do it. It's not that I'm a superhuman Christian or some type of old guy that's just a holy Joe that rolls around all the time and says, 'Look at me.' I don't mean that at all. Not at all. I'm just telling you, I believe all this. And a person that believes this will continue in the faith, and a person that doesn't won't. Verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things," he says, "since you are looking for such things, be diligent," he said, "make an honest effort," he said, "give it all you got. Be diligent that you be found of him in peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ, in peace with the local church, without spot, nothing in your life that people could point to as a blemish, and blameless." Doesn't mean sinless, but there's nothing in your life that someone can look at and use to drag you down. He said, if you're looking for such things, he said, you ought to be diligent to keep your life in such a phase that when God's Son came, you would be prepared not only to be taken, and you are prepared if you're saved to be taken, but to be judged at his judgment seat. Now these other three worlds that you see on this diagram are worlds that are yet to come. We're living on the restored earth of Genesis 1, verses 3 through 31. And perhaps later on down the line, if you all like this sort of thing, I'll continue and show you how the reconstruction occurred and how the various animal and life forms were placed here. And I'll show you a difference between some different words for creation. The earth restored, the millennium. Now that's the same earth on which we live. But this earth that we're living on is going to go through a tremendous geological upheaval. It's called the tribulation period. And the last 3.5 years of it are going to be terrifying with the movement of these tectonic plates. What geologists call the isostasy, the balance of the earth itself, is going to be greatly changed, and the earth is going to totter back and forth on its axis in space according to the Bible. The shifting of the tectonic plates is going to shift the weight structure on which the gravitational field has its own alleviation and own point and center of power. And you're going to see terrifying things occur in the earth itself. Once the tribulation period has finished, this earth is not going to be in the same state it's in today. It's going to be a state of utter devastation. And the Lord is going to have a rebuilding period that will last for a very long time to restore the earth to a state of greatness. And he will have a direct system of direct punishment for direct sin established with the headquarters out of Jerusalem. The devil and all his angels will be confined to the bottomless pit. And the only problem that man will have is the greatest problem he's ever had, the creature that lives in his own flesh. Now, we won't be here in this millennial reign in the present bodies in which we live. We will be on this earth in glorified bodies. And how much we're given to do in the millennial reign for Christ, what kind of a job we're given, what kind of servants we are in the millennial reign, how much joy we get in the millennial reign by comparison to other children of God, is going to depend upon how much we served him in this life after we became his children here, how obedient we were to his instructions, and how faithfully we served him in enduring in his work. But this millennial reign, I think, is not too far away. I have always said I believe the Lord would come before the year 2008. I realize fully I may be wrong. I realize he may come before then, on the year 2008, or after. I don't know when he's coming. But I've always believed, ever since 1967, that he would come sometime before the year 2008, and I still believe that. If that's time setting, then judge me guilty. But I'm telling you, I'm not setting a time. I'm just telling you what I believe, my opinion, and I realize I could be wrong. In any case, I want a good job in the millennium. The temple's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. The actual narrative blueprint instructions are found in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 42. And then Christ makes his triumphant entry as the Shekinah glory of God, entering into the temple that has been completed prior to that. And a new reign begins on this earth for 1,000 years. I'll be here in a glorified body. I'm saved. But I want to be over there where he is, and I want to be given a job where I can derive satisfaction from having done what he tells me to do and having received the ecstatic joy in believing I have actually pleased my master, face to face and directly. Well, at the end of the millennial reign of 1,000 years, Satan and his demonic horde are going to be released from the bottomless pit. They're going to come out and begin to affect and afflict the actual flesh of men by leading them to believe that everything that happened 1,000 years before in the tribulation period was merely a natural geological readjustment of the crust of the earth known as a mountain building period. And so they're going to get people all over the earth to say, why have we been worshiping the God of these Jews here in Israel? Because all this has nothing to do with God. It is merely a natural shifting of the earth. And once again, all the descendants of Gog and Magog from 1,000 years before are going to come against Israel. And this time, a fire is going to come down from God that you see here on this second earth, the earth renovated by fire, which follows the millennial reign. And this is a fire with which you and I are not familiar. It comes from the very person of God, the very essence of God. It is pure latent energy, and it burns this earth to a crust. Out of it is created a new earth. No more sea, Revelation 21:1. The new earth is clearly outlined, very aptly described in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. The people who live there, where they live, why they live, where they live, and the actual characteristics of the city itself. So these are all the things that God indicates will occur. The heavenly Jerusalem, as you see, will come down. There'll be a new earth and no more sea. Those are the ages of the earth. Now, let's take a look at how I've tried to outline this with diagrams so you can see where I'm coming from and how I interpret 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, let's take 2 Peter chapter 3 and let's begin with verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Verse 4. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All right. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice I have a large A there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Over here on the left, you see a diagram. What you see in this diagram is the earth, but you only see one single solid landmass. It is a landmass that is standing in the water and out of the water. It is a landmass that is completely joined together. There are no islands. Everything is joined together. Geologists, in their studies of the spread of the continents themselves, continental drift, have ascertained that at one time there was one solid landmass. I believe that is what God refers to as, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That, of course, is Genesis 1:1. Now, I've read 2 Peter 3, 3, and 4. Now, let's read 2 Peter 3 and 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, he spoke the word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You notice I have an A here, a green A. And I believe that refers to what you see here in diagram A, a solid single landmass standing in the water and out of the water. Now let's go down to the verse 2 in Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The face of the deep, you may check any reference source you want, is the face of the oceans of the earth and the seas of the earth, the water surface of the earth. I've already described what tohu means and what void means, bohu. Tohu and bohu means that it was a chaotic mass of absolute sheer confusion. I've already described to you what hayah or hayitha for was means, and it became that way. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was perfect, just like you saw in diagram A. But all of a sudden, a catastrophic destruction of the earth occurred. It was sudden, it began abruptly, and things became without form and void, total chaos, absolute confusion. And it was because Satan sinned. Now, Lucifer had been placed over the original creation. He is now called Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He has many names, the dragon, that old serpent, many different names. But at this time, creation began to break apart. So if you look over here, I have this, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and I have a B with a red line under it. Look at diagram B. In diagram B, you see the continents begin to break apart. Geologists say this happened about 150 million years ago. There's no way of knowing when it actually happened. But I believe 150 million years, you can put any time frame you want to on this. But it is not something that happened in recent times. The reason we know it did not happen in recent times is because of rock dating structures that have to do with how the magnetic declination points toward the poles. And the way that works, if I have time later on, I'll explain it to you, but it's not anything complicated. It's not like carbon dating. It's not like uranium-235 dating, and it's not one of those things where people can say, well, that has flaws. What I'm going to talk about later on, and I hope I can remember to do that, it's a very precise system. And so they believe about 150 million years ago. I don't know, but it was a long time ago. That, you see, is the breakup of the continents. This is when all hell broke loose, and I say that reverently. This is when volcanic eruptions begin to occur along all those plate boundaries. This is when a smoke shroud went up and surrounded the entire earth. And it was dark all over the earth. This was the time of the dinosaurs. This was the time when plant life was of a lichen-type form, of a swampy-type form. When actually the plant life had to actually, by a process of scattering and a refraction of the light through the various cloud layers over the earth because of volcanic eruptions, had to exist in a very primitive fashion. It was a long time ago, and the creation broke up at this particular time, and the tectonic plates began to spread apart. Now let's look at verse 6. We're now looking at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, but let's go back and read 5 first. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, let's read verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. You'll notice I have a C with a blue line underneath it. Now let's look at diagram C. This is what happened. You don't see any landmass on this diagram. Why not? The earth was flooded. The earth was flooded. That's 2 Peter 3 and 6. Now let's go to the last part of Genesis 1-2, but let's read the first part of Genesis 1-2 first. Genesis 1-2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God allowed Satan billions of years to do his thing, to try and come up with a life form that could rule over, but Satan could have to rule over him, for him, on this earth. Satan failed miserably. And then, in about 6 billion years, what Satan couldn't do, God did in 6 literal days, and on the 6th day, he created a man. But now let's read the last part of Genesis 1-2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now let's read 2 Peter 3 and 6 again. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Every single land creature, all the dinosaurs, all of them, Anything that was alive on land died. You say, well, what happened to the aquatic life? It did not die. It continued. God did not destroy the aquatic life. He just destroyed every single thing that was on land. But what about the things in the oceans and seas of the world? We can still find skeletons that are millions of years old of fish. And they match perfectly the bone strata and structure of the present day fish that are in the oceans and seas of the world. But we can't do that for any other live species, any other warm-blooded species. We can't do it because God destroyed all those land creatures, and there are no replicas of them actually walking around today looking exactly like that. Now, let's take a look at verse 7 in 2 Peter chapter 3, but let's read verse 6 before it. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, right now, on which we live, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. That's this earth right here today as we know it, with North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Australia. That's the earth today as we know it. And it's reserved unto fire. And one day this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3. We have just finished with the end of verse 2 in Genesis 1:2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now let's look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. These volcanic eruptions had created a cloud shield in the stratosphere that very little light got through during this entire time frame until God regenerated and recreated the earth. When God recreated the earth, he began to change the atmospheric structure around it. He began to readjust and change the face of the earth itself, and he began to let light break through that cloud shield. He caused the volcanic eruptions to cease. He caused the ingredients that were forming the cloud shroud around the earth to end. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is not the first creation of light. God merely broke away the cloud shield, and suddenly the light broke through on the earth. And the present day earth since that time has been an earth that has cloudy days, partly cloudy days, no clouds, some clouds, few clouds, high clouds, low clouds, middle clouds. It has a varied cloud structure. It's been that way ever since God refurbished it. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. This is the earth as we know it today. This is the earth that God created. This is the earth on which we live. Now, I'm going to be talking tomorrow, or next Sunday, about what happened all over the earth when this great cataclysmic event occurred in Genesis 1:2, when Lucifer committed his sin. And next Sunday, I hope to get to what that sin was and try to define it. Now, I'm going to use the basic geological development of Palestine, what we call Israel today. You see up there at the top diagram, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different layers of rock. You see Senonian, Turonian, Cenomanian, Nubian, and then you see a layer of basalt underneath it. Now you notice there are no breaks in it. There are no imperfections. When God first created the earth, there was one solid landmass. Then Satan sinned. When Satan sinned, it became a ruined earth, a tohu and buhu earth, a chaotic earth. This is what happened to Israel. The whole Jordan River Valley dropped straight down and was formed. This would be what is Israel today. This is what is Jordan today. There was a cataclysmic event. There was a terrifying time when God reshaped the earth, when he changed what was already here. He pushed then together the Jordanian side and the Israeli side, locked the Jordan Valley, stopped the volcanic eruptions, caused cracks on this side. What you see on the bottom here is the present earth today, as we know it, existing at the present time. So the earth was originally created perfect by God, as you see on this particular diagram. Then it was ruined. Then God reshaped it. A little while later on, when man's sinfulness had become so great God once again cursed the earth. God once again flooded the earth in the time of Noah, but this is the second flood. And then God has given us today, after the flood of Noah, the present earth. I'm also going to show you, before I'm finished, how God changed the rain pattern. In the days of the flood of Noah, it had never rained before the flood. We had had mist. We had had a perfect watering system before the flood. But when the flood occurred, it ended that perfect watering system. I'm going to show you what it was. I'm going to show you how it worked. And I'm going to show you how it was destroyed when man reached such a state of sinfulness that God paid him back for his unjust treatment toward the mercies of God. Now in Psalm 104, in verses 6 through 9, it pretty well describes the creation of the earth. Psalm 104, beginning with verse 6. Thou didst cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Remember what Peter said, the earth in the water and standing out of the waters? At thy rebuke, they fled. At the sound of thy thunder, they took to flight. You actually mean that mountains can move? The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke, they fled. At the sound of thy thunder, they took to flight. Yes, these whole continental plate structures move and float. And at one time, they move much more rapidly, and that's what I believe God is talking about. At the sound of thy thunder. You ever hear a volcanic eruption go off? And the actual eruptions of volcanoes along these tectonic plate boundaries are what creates new crust and causes the whole mountain structure all over the earth, which are embedded in the rock foundation of the actual surface of the earth, to move. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down. Now, how could anybody that was a psalmist have understood all this except by the power of God? And that is exactly what happened. The mountains did rise. If this was all a bunch of baloney, the psalmist could have just said, and God dropped the mountains onto the earth, or suddenly the mountains were there. But he told exactly what happened. He said the mountains rose. They did. And the valleys sank down. That's the exact geological description of what happened as God pushed the earth together to the place which thou didst appoint for them. God had a plan and a purpose for all of it. Thou didst set a bound which they should not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. God has promised us he would never again flood the earth. But God didn't promise he wouldn't destroy it by fire, and he will. Now, we're going into, very shortly, a tribulation earth, as you see on this diagram, which will be followed by a millennial earth, which will be followed by a destruction of the millennial earth by fire, which will be followed by a new heaven and a new earth. So the earth has gone through many different phases. Now, next week, we're going to take a look at the original earth, the ruined earth, the reshaped earth, the cursed earth, the flood earth, the present earth, and we're going to take a look at the Grand Canyon. And we're going to go back and trace where those original life forms began. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we're going to trace them right up the side of that. You see, there's a fellow named Morris and another fellow named Gish, and they claim the earth is only 6,000 years old. I'm sorry, but they're dead wrong. And they say that during the flood of Noah, the whole earth began to flip over. The Grand Canyon was made by a river that cut down through it over eons of time. And it has exposed all the different life forms from the very earliest up to the present time. And we're going to talk about that. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because we are besieged with a public cry that the earth was not made by God, and that there is no God, and that we descended from monkeys. This is an answer to it, and when I get to these scriptures about what the devil did, I think you'll find it very interesting. I also think you'll find it very interesting when I show you what's wrong with counting up those years in Genesis. It may seem to make a lot of sense, but I'm going to go back and show you something about it that is why, for a long time, nobody would do it, and when Bishop Usher did it, because he had so much authority in Ireland, everybody accepted it. But it's not the right way to do it. And so, Lord willing, next Sunday we'll take off from there, and now we'll take a little break.